Good afternoon. We're continuing our study of The Altitude of Prayer, an excellent book, an excellent series of talks by Mr. Joel S. Goldsmith. We're on Chapter 10, The Widening Circle of Prayer. And you don't have to read too much of this chapter to see that he's beginning to work with the students on world work. How to widen the circle of prayer from just your family to your family and friends, to your family and friends and enemies, to your community, to your nation, to the universe. You can make a difference by releasing that which you receive in your consciousness. And so he begins with, many of the problems the world faces today are humanly insoluble. There's no answer. Humanly. The Master did not have a human solution to offer in his day, and yet he did have a solution for every problem of human experience. He taught recourse to an inner kingdom, an inner power that makes men free. A person who has some of the fruitage of the spiritual life will never forsake it. Or he may go through trials and tribulations, but he knows that he goes through these with a presence that ultimately leads him into spiritual light and harmony. We cannot live completely unto ourselves and say that the suffering of mankind does not touch us. That would be impossible. Our real life is lived in the withinness of our being, and we draw upon that withinness for supply, companionship, and outer relationships. Our interest is in bringing forth spiritual power, not only for ourselves or our families, but for the entire world. We have the opportunity to live a life so spiritually governed that we will bear fruit richly, and the discords of the world will not come nigh our dwelling place. And where is that dwelling place? Is it a little hut near the overlooking the ocean on a cliff somewhere? Is that our dwelling place so that nothing can come nigh our dwelling place? Well, we know better than that now, don't we? Our dwelling place is in the secret place of the Most High God. Our dwelling place is in our consciousness. And that consciousness is what you live and move and have your being in, and it in you. And you are one. We render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. We pray for guidance as to whom to vote for. We go to the polls on election day and find no excuse to stay home. That is an obligation of citizenship. But we cannot expect that the world's problems will be solved that way. The world's problems will be solved spiritually. Now, everything that we've been learning up until now has told us that we can't solve a problem on the level of a problem. And so if you have a human problem, whether it's political or personal or what have you, you can't meet it humanly. You have to meet it by going within and releasing what you receive as an impartation within. And then that spirit goes forth, that presence, it goes forth and it changes things. It really does. And that is how you meet a problem. And from here on out, any problem, you must go down that checklist. Have I gone within? Have I received Him? Have I prayed correctly? We should not put the responsibility upon any elected official to save the world. And so, Mr. Biden, Mr. Trump, you guys cannot save the world. Only this invisible presence can go forth to prepare a place, to prepare mansions. Even though we may be living in a sense of greater security and peace than the world at large, nevertheless, we do owe a debt to the world, and therefore we take upon ourselves some of the responsibilities of the world. The important point is that the grace of God is not given to any individual for himself alone. And so if you have received the grace of God, and I know you have because I read what you write, and I know you have on some level received the grace of God, but that was not for you. I remember the first time I realized that it was somewhat of a letdown because I was under the impression that God loved me. And, shockingly enough, God doesn't love me. God loves. God is love. And so when I bring myself into the atmosphere of God, I experience love. And it's wonderful. Sometimes you ask yourself, how did he plan this out so many years ago that the two of us met right at this time? How is such a thing possible? Of course, we know to omniscience, all things are possible. So God does not love you, Mary. God does not love you, Linda. God does not love you, Tim. God does not love you, Jim or Joe. God is love. If you walk outside on a beautiful fall morning, and the sun is shining, and it feels warm on your arms, on your face, do you say, oh, the sun really loves me? That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Sounds ridiculous. No, the sun is shining. You're experiencing the warmth of the sun by stepping out into the light. God could no more give any one of us a blessing than God could give apples to one branch of a tree. Now that's interesting when you visualize that. All these apples on one branch and the other branches bare. You see, there's laws in operation. And the biggest law of God is the law of love. God bless our country. Why our country more than any other country on the globe? How is it possible for God to bless one and withhold from another? How sinful it is to believe that God's grace flows only to good people. God's grace is meant not only for good people, but even more for the bad ones. Are we not told that the healthy ones need not a physician? Our prayer must be universal. Why then do we not all receive the blessings of God equally? What's your answer to that? Put the book down for a minute. Don't peek. The question put before you is, why do we not all receive the blessings of God equally? You know the answer. Because we live in our own consciousness. I don't live in yours, you don't live in mine. Unless we have risen to the point where we see there's only one consciousness. So he says, those of us who in any degree find a lack or limitation of God's goodness find it only because we ourselves set up the barrier. We have not only racial and national biases and bigotries, but stupidly enough, we have religious ones, as if God has any church. There is no church in God. There is no religion in God. God's relationship is with himself appearing as man, an indissoluble relationship. And I think of John Lennon's song, Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion, too. We have offered whatever of spiritual understanding or power we have been given to anyone within range of our consciousness. Those who have been the longest on the path are giving some part of every day to prayer on world conditions. Are you? It is not the manner of prayer, however, that is a determining influence in life. It is the motive. If there is a sincere desire to see the reign of God of Christ on earth, the form of our prayer would make no difference. The God that answers prayer is Spirit, and it answers prayer according to the spirit of those who are praying. So, in what spirit are we praying? Are we praying that the grace of God be made manifest among our friends and among our enemies? Are we praying that the innocent be lifted up and the guilty be healed? then we are praying aright. No one can come to the throne of God except with a pure heart. To be pure in heart means to desire good, not only good for us, for our families, our nation, our allies, but for friend and foe, white and black, Jew and Gentile. The heart is purified by the desire to see God's kingdom on earth. You see, he's paving the way for world work here, so that you can work for the world and release this inner kingdom out into this experience. We who have witnessed the power of prayer in our individual experience and have begun to share it, we know the richness that enters life through what we pour out from within us. It's the secret to supply. You want supply? You must pour out. You want companionship? You must pour out. Be a companion to the grass, to the trees, to the butterflies. I remember putting this principle in practice one time consciously. I found myself alone. I was living in a back house, I guess once upon a time it was the servants' quarters to the large house, and I was living back there, and I was lonely. And recognizing the principle, I decided I would put it into practice and see what happened. I didn't go anywhere, I didn't change anything, I didn't change my location, but I started being a companion to the sun, a companion to the trees, a companion to a little kitty cat that was wandering around the neighborhood. And my circle of friends grew and grew, my circle of companions. And before long, I had a companion that I ended up marrying. But I didn't do this to try to get a companion. I did this to see if the principle of being a companion, what it would do. It's really quite fascinating, these principles, when you put them into practice consciously and you watch what happens. You bear witness. You behold. If the masses could know something about the world of the spirit, some of them at least would begin to open their eyes and desire what we who have learned about a life of prayer have discovered. There are thousands, perhaps probably millions of persons in all parts of the world longing inwardly to know something about the way of life by prayer. There is only one way to help them, and it is not a human way. These persons who are seeking and have not yet found a way are responsive to prayer. If in our daily meditations and prayers we can remember the seekers and searchers, those who have not yet found their spiritual home, and the kingdom of God within, and then realize that that God love that is flowing through us is meeting their need, entering their consciousness and bringing awakening and light to them, we would be surprised at how rapidly many of them would be led somewhere to hear about a spiritual message. I am not speaking at the moment of waking people up to the infinite way. My interest goes far beyond that. It is in awakening mankind to the inner life, the life of prayer. In our prayers, let our thoughts go out to the world. Let us embrace mankind in our consciousness, knowing that all those prepared for the Christ will meet the Christ. All those prepared for the grace of God will receive it. They will be led to that spiritual fountain within. This must be released from within. First of all, by recognizing that we are a fountain of life, and that we are willing to share this water, this meat, this resurrection, this life eternal, with all who are prepared to receive it. Then the next step is to go into the silence and there offer it to the world. Remember, silence is not an absence of sound. Silence is an absence of self. And so the next step is to go into the silence with an absence of self and there offer this to the world. The promise of the Master is that if we pray in secret, where no man knows that we are praying, if we pray that the world come to this fountain of spiritual water and find the inner kingdom, our prayer will reach those ready, receptive, and responsive to receive the benefit of that prayer. All that we know secretly, silently, and sacredly within ourselves is answered openly and outwardly, but it is not the words or the thoughts in prayer that carry the power. The power is in the motive. When our motive is that God's grace be made known, that God's presence be felt, that God's power be manifest to friend and foe in all lands, then our prayer is with power. How shall we pray for the enemy? Father, open his eyes that he may see. Open his ears that he may hear. When we pray universally. We pray that all men's eyes be opened, and that the kingdom of God be realized on earth as it is in heaven, that those who are in sin be lifted up and be forgiven, not punished. Until we are able to look through the appearance and know its impersonal nature and non-power, we are not even prepared for a spiritual ministry, and prayers from such a consciousness are wasted. Prayer to be answered, prayer must come from a heart that is purged of personal and selfish motives. A heart that has for its desire that all men may know God's grace. This prayer, silently spoken or thought, not only sets the one who prays free, but it sets mankind free. We can watch it in operation on the level of the family. Okay, so he's saying that you can begin with your family to practice these principles. We can use this silent secret prayer in our household, confining ourselves to our immediate circle, and pray that God's grace be established. Have you done that lately? Have you sat down in prayer, unselfish, silently, and prayed for God's grace to enter your family? Is not your family in your consciousness? Then your prayer should embrace your family. When we begin to see the fruitage in that small circle, then we are ready to lift our vision and go out into the community, to the seat of our government, to cross borders and look each nation in the face, each religion, and make peace. Go thy way in peace. May God's grace be visited upon you. May you forever know the joy of living in His forgiveness and in His love, peace, and prosperity. We can then go back to the altar, leave our gift, and pray, Father, forgive me as I have forgiven those who have offended me. All this is done silently, secretly, sacredly, and for one purpose, that God's grace be established on earth. Among those who have realized even a tiny measure of God's grace, there is the realization, I do not claim to have attained, not fully, but I am forgetting the sins which are past, and am looking to the full demonstration of Christhood. Father, forgive him. May thy grace be established in him. That makes for the peace we feel in the presence of spiritual consciousness, and that is responsible for the measure of peace among us. Since the world does not know how to find its way to the Christ, someone must pray, and those prayers will be the light that will lead every seeker and searcher to one of the spiritual paths that bless. We begin this practice in our home, widening the circle to include our friends and more distant relatives. As we begin to witness the fruitage of what we are doing, we reach further until we are including all mankind in our prayer. See, you start out with your family, you start out in your home, and then you experience a widening circle of prayer until you embrace all of humanity. We have seen this principle in operation in the infinite way, where no public means have been used to bring anyone to this message. No advertising, no proselyting, just prayer. The prayer that opens consciousness with no condemnation and invites the world to find spiritual peace in prayer and meditation. Open the eyes of this world to the springs of living waters within. We need never be concerned that we will not know the fruitage of our prayers. In many different ways, it will be brought home to us. we will see the evidence of that force and power which we have been instrumental in loosing into the world. Release God into the world, but let us be sure we are not directing God to some friend's corner. Loose God, release him into the world that he may bless and redeem. In saving the world, we know that we are saved individually. Yes, what you pour out is what you receive, and so if you are saving the world, you're saving yourself. Isn't it the A Course in Miracles that talks about that at length? You forgive your brother, and you yourself experience forgiveness. The names of these organizations are different. The principles, if they're spiritual principles, are the same. The spiritual students of the world have within their power the ability to change the world in this century into a heaven on earth. How? By prayer and meditation. By letting loose this bread that they have stored up within them. Father, forgive them their sins. Father, open their eyes and their ears. Father, I pray that thy love may shine upon them, that thy grace may feed and sustain them. This altitude of prayer brings forth a spiritual response within us and the accompanying spiritual fruitage. Well, that was pretty quick. It only took a half an hour. What are we going to do for the rest of our time? I got an idea. Let's have a prayer and meditation. We sit here in quietness, in confidence. In the silence, in the absence of self, I turn to the Father. Father, flow out through consciousness. Let my consciousness be thy consciousness. What have I in my house? I have all that the Father has. I have infinite love. I have eternal life. Father, open their eyes. Those who consider themselves enemies, and yet we've never met, open their eyes to your presence. Open their ears to your grace. I don't care what race they are. I don't care what nation they live in. I don't care what sex they are. I don't care what age they are. I care about one thing and one thing only. That the grace of God, which I have experienced over and over again here in my consciousness, that it will embrace them there in my consciousness. Closer than breathing, nearer than hands, nearer than feet, is the beloved presence of God. And that presence of God is here that they might have life and life more abundantly. Father, let thy life flow to friends in every corner, to foes in every corner. Let their consciousness entertain thee. You see, to him that receiveth, to them gives he power to lift up mankind in every corner, in every dark area. And Saint Francis, where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. Let me not so much seek to be loved as to love. For it is in giving spiritually that we receive. It is in forgiving spiritually that we are forgiven. It is in dying to self that we awaken to our true identity, to the life of Christ. And what is Christ? I have come that they might have life. Okay, we're going to look at chapter 11 next week, Individuality Revealed Through Prayer, and then the week after we will look at Living by Prayer. He likes the number 12, which is the number representing perfection. And most of his books have 12 chapters, except for the longer ones, like A Parenthesis in Eternity. And after that 12th chapter, I am taking a month or two off. I hope everybody doesn't scatter to the winds, but if they do, then that's just the way it goes. I need rest too. And so I'll go within and see what is indicated to do next. And then we'll do that, whatever that is. I thank you for the consciousness that you brought, that you have brought to this study so far. It has really lifted me each week to areas I never knew about. And so I thank you for that. I guess that's about it. 40 minutes, huh? We're about 20 minutes short, but maybe we just need a short one this week. Thank you, everyone. I love you, and I mean that. That's just not trite saying. That's what I feel. You are my brothers and sisters, my sons and daughters. And thank goodness we can walk together on this spiritual path. Thank you, and God bless.